ya lo hace, pierna derecha, directo al arco, golazo, golazo.
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today for Monday, July 22nd, 2019. I'm Kevin Larame. Welcome to the show. As always, Dwayne Mullins is joining me. Dwayne, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. Started my week off not by being on mute. It took me just about a half second, and I would have been, but I got there in time, and this is more of an inside joke to Kevin, but I wasn't on mute when I started talking. Little victories to start the week.
Yeah, no, it's little accomplishments like this that adds up and makes a big difference in everybody's life. No, it's good. Speaking of accomplishment or lack thereof, this weekend, Dwayne, Canadian teams struggling in Major League Soccer. All three teams suffering a loss this weekend, on a Saturday to be precise as well. But we'll obviously touch on Montreal and their fourth straight loss. Seems like it always happens in July and August for the 11 of the Montreal City. But Toronto FC as well, a big loss after a good few performances, Dwayne, that did see them climb up in the standings. But this loss, it doesn't come at a perfect time. It was like a good time to continue their momentum, but heavy games scheduling means heavy rotation. And there's a chatter around Toronto FC. Hashtag Vanny out. Yes, no, is it a joke? Is it real? My first question to you this morning, Dwayne. Hashtag Vanny out. Yay or nay or too early?
It's still too early, although I am now, I would say, on the bandwagon where it's fair to have that anti-question at the conclusion of this season. I do not think that it makes any sense to fire Greg Vanney in the middle of the season based on your concerns about his management of the roster on Saturday, which is most people's concerns. And I have concerns and questions about it, as many did. You know, why on a two-game winning streak when you have a chance to get closer to the top and instead you end up basically throwing 3 points down the toilet. We talked about this last year as well, where they threw 3 points down the toilet a great deal in the early part of it when they were doing the CCL. It's hard to completely understand that thinking. But at the same time, to go back to the original point, if you're just going to let him go right now, what's the solution? And how is it going to fix things? And I think that a lot of the instinct from people is about, you know, addition by subtraction, I guess. And I just don't see that point there. It's more of an anger reaction. Like, I want to do something, and this is something. But then what? What do you do? It's like old TFC thinking. You fire this guy. Who are you going to bring in to replace him, and how is that going to make things better? Stability is better, even if it frustrates you. But at the end of the year, it's fair, because it has been two bad years in a row, and there is new management, and he no longer has the protection above him, and maybe they want to bring their own people in. And I could buy that conversation then, but right now, not so much.
No, and that loss comes, of course, with the heavy rotation that was done on that game on Saturday versus the Houston Dynamo, which are having a good season too. Oh, by the way, the Houston Dynamo, Dwayne, James Harden, NBA professional players, the superstar that plays for the Houston Rocket, who is getting some help in the offseason with the big trade of Westbrook now with Houston. This ain't a basketball podcast, but he has become a part owner of the Houston Dynamo, and they're having a good season, and the big win versus Toronto FC on Saturday. But when we look at Toronto's performance, of course, there's the heavy rotation. There's the lackluster, I would say, attack in that game on Saturday too. But the chatter of hashtag Vanny out, I can understand what you were mentioning too, because Ali Curtis is going to be his second year now in charge. Well, no, it's still his first year, by the way, in charge of TFC. Maybe he does want to bring his own coach. Maybe he wants to bring his own assistant, his own mentality, philosophy. But the one thing that has helped Toronto FC in the successful years, I would say 16-17, when they made back-to-back MLS Cup presence, I would think was the adaptability of their strategy and being able to adapt and going from a five-man back line to back to a four, game in, game out, in that stretch to adjust to the opponents. this time around? I don't know. I feel like that's what's missing a bit. It is the identity that the team is bigger than its component. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, look, here's the thing about when you're evaluating squad rotation. It's very difficult to evaluate it when it's just happened. Because really, I hate to bring back this term again, but, you know, could you really, when you were in the middle of February as a Raptors fan and you were frustrated and the Kawhi wasn't playing, where, you know, a lot of people were complaining about load management at that point. This is essentially what Greg Vanney is doing, and I wouldn't directly connect the dots there, but at the same time, MLS, he owns both teams. That might be a philosophy that's within the organization now. He might be getting directive from above. You don't know. But until we see whether or not this was a gamble, whether he looked at this and thought these guys, these people he put out there might be able to scramble and put something together and was willing to give up those points and the thought that it would lead to more points down the line, I guess. But it does seem like, you know, back in 2017, they wouldn't have done that. They would have just said, we're just going to grind ahead and we're going to trust that we're going to get the results regardless of how tired we are. They won 3-8 like three times that year, whereas this was a 3-8 situation, which is very difficult. And no one is denying that. It's very difficult indeed. But, you know, there's just, we shouldn't say flush down because you do want to trust your squad players. But at the same time, we've seen, you know, definition of insanity, Kevin. Like, you put that pair back, or that center half pairing is there, and it has never worked. Why would it work today or Saturday? And it didn't again. Quickly, Kevin, before I let you jump in, I did run a poll. I did want to give the results of that to see where our listeners are sort of sitting on this. As we currently talk, 141 votes in this thing right now. It's only been up for a half hour, so obviously a popular topic. I gave four options. Vanney out now, hashtag Vanney out now, on borrowed time, gets to end of year, or hashtag team Vanney. Right now, the extreme end of this, and I think this reflects how the extremes sometimes get pushed out of control, the extreme end only represents 11% who want him fired now, and 15% who are blind and just love him. The middle results, 28% on borrowed time, and 46% are willing to give him to the end of the year. So nearly half of our listeners agree with my assessment, and I think yours as well. I haven't asked you directly, but I suspect yours as well, that it really kind of doesn't make sense to fire someone unless there's something really bad happening that you can directly fix.
If we go back to last year, New York, both teams in New York had the unfortunate task to replace their manager mid-season, not because of a firing or a resigning, but because Jesse Marsh and Patrick Vieira at that moment moved on to bigger and better things. So they had to adjust and change manager during the season. And both took an approach of someone inside, someone with at least the knowledge and a base of knowledge of the team and their progression over the years. So they could continue. But both teams did suffer a dip. Both teams did suffer a little bit in the adjustment period between the two coaches. And yes, at the end of the day, they did not win MLS Cup, but didn't perform as intended. It did see a bump, though, after. That's what I'm wondering. If you get rid of Vanney during the season, will you have a dip and then a bump, which basically nullifies each other, and you're just at the same point that you would have been if you just stayed with the manager? That's my question. Is that dip and that bump equal to just not changing anything?
I have not run the numbers in MLS. I know others have ran similar kind of evaluations in other sports and have found that the idea of this coach bump is one of those sports cliches that doesn't stand up to a lot of scrutiny. Coaches sometimes can turn things around a little bit quickly. New England right now would be the obvious example, but the talent eventually evens that out. And unless there's something very, very specific in the dressing room that you need to address, if it's some kind of conflict, some kind of ethical question, and no one is at all saying that is happening here, to be 100% clear, but unless there's something that dramatic, it never makes sense to me to fire in the middle of the season, even in a bad losing streak, because simply you're firing in the middle of the season, you're reducing your pool of people that you're potentially going to replace him with, right? Like, you're suddenly desperately trying to scramble around to bring someone, and they're probably just going to bring Robin Fraser, and let's be honest, the assistant coach who is linked to a lot of head coaching positions in MLS, so how much change are you really having, right? You know, Robin Fraser is well-respected, but is he much different than Greg Vanney? And that's kind of what they'd have to do just by default if they were to let him go in the middle of the season. So if you truly are Ali Curtis and thinking that you want to make a change in the managerial position, then you're going to give him the full year, and then you're going to do the right thing by letting him go at a time when he can find new work, and the right thing on you by opening up that player pool, the coaching pool, so that you have a selection from multiple candidates and not just the scrums that are left over. The crumbs, I mean, not scrums. That's a different thing altogether. But then you're not limiting yourself.
It's true, and it does make sense in a way. But we'll see what happens. We'll see if MLSC and Ali Curtis are patient. It's just one bad result after a couple good results. So, yes, there's that, and there is a portion of the fan base that is jumping to conclusions really quickly. And you mentioned the poll. It's over 45% that would like to give Vanny until the end of the season. Gives me a lot of reassurance of our fan base that it's not just about the move to do now. The long term is often more important than short term, and you need patience in Major League Soccer. You need to wait and be stable, have stability. And when you do make a move, if you do it in the off season, you can do it in a way that creates stability too by doing it early and so on. So we'll see if this happens. And this could be the case for many different teams in Major League Soccer too. One of those cases is Montreal. Rémi Garde's contract is up at the end of the season. What do you do? Right now, if you're Rémi Garde and looking at your opportunities of getting better players that seems to not happen this year. And speaking of, one of the players that Montreal did sign, Dwayne, Harry Novillo, which played about 12 appearances, only 5 starts since the beginning of the season, well, he is no more with the Montreal Impact. His contract has been resiliated, teared up, thrown in the recycling bin. Of course, his salary is still going to be imputed on the salary cap until the end of the season, but there is one free international spot for the Montreal Impact, and the Harry Novillo experiment has been a failure for the Montreal Impact.
And look, that happens. There are as many failures as successes when you're talking about external signings into Major League Soccer, and if you're an Impact fan, I wouldn't lose too much sleep over what this is. Does it inhibit your ability to add in this particular window? Slightly, but it's a prorated salary for half of a year. It prevents you from having to use one of your release clauses. You have the ability to scrap one contract on a mutual each year. Otherwise, they count to your cap the next year. By doing it early in the season, they don't have to worry about it for next season. There's a lot of reasons to do it if it's just not working out. Yeah. And that's something that they should have done if again, it's not working out. In terms of other regards, look, this is a guy, we just talked about Greg Vanney in a minute. He's going to have more opportunities by virtue of his reputation than a guy like Vanney. So he has more of a control in terms of his contract for next year. I think the Impact, I suspect, Kevin, would like to continue to have him back. They do seem to have stabilized under him a little bit in terms of their constant turnover that they used to have at that position. Who else are they going to replace him with if they let him go, right? Like, that's what you have to think of with the Impact. But if you're him, I think he's having a conversation with Montreal management going, okay, well, I've stabled the ship. What are you going to do to let me put the sail on the ship now, so to speak, and make a decision based on that?
Yeah, obviously. And he hinted at it at some points during the season, very, very faintly. But the last game in Montreal last weekend, the way he was talking about after the game, that have to play with what I have, and I have depending if we're going to get reinforcement or not. And for me, that type of alluding to this is almost like a signal to the front office via media. But we'll see if that was the case. But for Harry Novillo too, the circumstances around his presence in Montreal this season are quite attenuating, Dwayne. Not only did he lose his passport in very murky situations, and we might not get into the details of this, but it's not just losing your passport. There's way more death, and pieces of that story could probably be seen on a telenovela anywhere on your television. It's that type of story. That's mixed with the Instagrams of him having fun in the Montreal nightlife for a majority of the season. Another situations like this. So for Montreal, it's probably for the best. And when I say probably, it is for the best that Harry Novilla is no longer with the club.
I mean, in his defense, I like to have fun on St. Laurent sometimes too.
Yeah, but you're not a player playing for that. At least say, have fun. Don't put it on social media, dude. Like, come on. Be smart about it. Back in the 50s and 60s,
I'm sure. Have some chill, dude. Have some chill.
Okay. If you didn't know that, back in the 50s and 60s, Montreal Canadiens players used to go to bars and stuff and do way more weird and crazy things that you can even think of. But they were doing it with the journalists. And there was an omerta, like, okay, let's not talk about this in the newspaper. We're just going to represent ourselves. There was no social media back then. There was no gratifying feeling when you publish a story and it's retweeted 500,000 times, right? So now it's different. You take a photo, a screen grab of a professional player doing a line of something you're not supposed to, somewhere you're not supposed to be during the regular season, and guess what? You become Instagram famous. Whatever that means, I don't know, and I truly don't care. But yeah, but dude, don't put it on social media yourself. You're not helping your situation. And another circumstance that I really didn't appreciate about this entire thing is you can do your own thing. Everyone has its own demon, and I can understand that. Don't bring the young kids coming to play with the club with you. Come on, give everyone a chance. I don't know. There's a lot of interesting stories that will probably come out in the next few weeks about Harry Novilla's time with the Montreal Impact.
Yeah, I think back in the day, it was a case of you don't tell my manager if I don't tell your wife what I'm seeing tonight, right? So it's not that anymore.
Yeah, different times. Different times. Speaking of different times, we have to say goodbye to Dwayne for today, but we'll talk to Dwayne tomorrow. Yeah. And have the Two Solid Two Soccer podcast for tomorrow. And while we say goodbye to Dwayne, have a good one, Dwayne. We will look at the standings and the results of the weekend in Major League Soccer. Major League Soccer had a busy weekend. Of course, Friday, it started with the Trafico. What a game with the LA Galaxy and LAFC at home for the Galaxy. Zlatan versus Vela. That was the name on the marquee, you would say, the marquee matchup in this game. And yeah, Zlatan, a perfect hat trick. Right leg, score. Left foot, score. Header, score. Perfect hat trick. And the Galaxy with the win in a interesting and very entertaining game to watch late Friday night on the East Coast. Toronto-Houston, 3-1 Houston, we've talked about this. Philly, big win at home versus the Chicago Fire, 2-0 for the Union, who remains the best team in the Eastern Conference. As of right now, Columbus, Montreal Impact, of course, Montreal won, lost 2-1 on the road. Red card to Bakary Sagnon, unfortunately, in this game, it was a red card. I do not have any issues with the call. It is what it is. And during the game, the club announced as well that they resiliated the contract of Harry Novilla. And like I was saying to Dwayne just before we said goodbye, Harry Novilla's time with the Montreal Impact has been everything except boring. But unfortunately, the sparks and the interesting aspect was not on the pitch. And that's where it becomes a problem. And that's where it's unfortunate for the Montreal Impact. They needed a player to step up. A couple kind of did. Harry did not step up, did not show up. And you might say he didn't show up because he didn't have a passport. Maybe. But the story is way more complicated than just that. And hopefully one day we hear more about the time of Harry Novilla in Montreal. Maybe in a gossip newspaper near you. In some day soon. Sporting Kansas City, a defeat at home versus FC Dallas, a big defeat for SKC. My perennial MLS Cup favorite are not living up to expectations once again this year. And just to go back to the Montreal Impact for a second, I wanted to mention to Dwayne, but unfortunately he had to go for it today. It's a fourth straight defeat for the Impact, but it's July, in the end of July, beginning of August now, soon. And it's almost a tradition now in the Montreal Impact to have a little bit of a dip in July and August. Is it the heat? Is it because of the travels of the early beginning of the season that it is always the case for the Montreal Impact that eventually catches up to you? Maybe that's the case. I don't know what the reasoning is behind. Is it the lack of depth? Montreal Impact have always been not that deep, but okay. Like up to 14 player. And then you don't really see the other ones. You always see the similar substitutions for the Montreal Impact. This year, I have to say, it has been a little bit different with the inclusions of a Clément Baillat, Kinoumbé, Mathieu Choignard when he was healthy, and as well other players when they were healthy. Unfortunately, some of them had suffered big injuries like Daniel Kinoumbé and Mathieu Choignard and others. So there's that. We remember the concussion of Mathieu Choignard a month ago or so. So no, it's unfortunate, those injuries. But Montreal has played a lot more of their kids today. But what I'm trying to say is the lack of depth when you're exposed in July and August because of the amount of games you need to play. That's where the Canadian Championship is. That's where you have more games, 3 games in 8 days. And this time around, it is the 6th time this season that the Impact plays 3 games in 8 days. That's crazy. Yes, that's the calendar being shorter, having MLS Cup a bit earlier, a month earlier. There's that. So that explains a lot, that the Canadian Championship games in July and August, if Montreal continues to go forward after their game this Wednesday against York 9. So that will be interesting to see if that congestion of the calendar right now, the amount of games, it's literally almost a game every 4 days now, and then hopefully once a week with the weather, with the travel. Is that an excuse? Is it maybe a reason behind those struggles? Because those struggles have happened almost on a yearly basis in July and August over the last, 4 years or so? To different scale, some of them bigger than others. In 2016, the dip wasn't that bad. Last year, it was what it was. The difference this year is the Impact did get some points earlier on in the season, which they hadn't last year. Remember, in the 13 first games, they had 10 points. Yeah, this year, it's a lot more than that. So there's a positive for the Montreal Impact. And let's continue our look at the results of the last weekend Major League Soccer. Colorado at home with a red card, losing to NYCFC, the team from Manhattan, 2-1 against the team from the mountains of the Rockies. Vancouver and San Jose, another big loss at home for the Vancouver Whitecaps, this time 3-1 versus the surging San Jose Earthquakes. They might be the hottest team in Major League Soccer right now. Like, not as an overall for the season, but their progression under Matias Almeida from game one to now is impressive. With their lack of clear-cut superstar big name, of course there's Wando, and there's, but we're not talking about game changer here. And Wando's at the twilight of his career, and now he's the all-time goal-scoring leader in Major League Soccer, yes, but now that that record has been broken, San Jose can just continue to move into another phase of their existence, of their tactics, of their mentality, identity on the pitch. And I think that's what we're seeing with Matias Almeida and the San Jose Earthquakes, a growth of mentality and identity throughout the season, which is leading to great results and wins, like this 3-1 win in Vancouver. Real Salt Lake 1, Minnesota United 1, Atlanta 2, DC nothing. Atlanta continues to slowly become the team they were last year and the year before. It took a little bit of time under Peter DeBoer to get the machine oiled and ready to go. It took a lot of time. There were some bad times in Atlanta. Hashtag DeBoer out. Hashtag what have we done? Oh, bring back Miggy. Blah, blah, blah. It's going to work. Be patient. It's trending in an upward trajectory. And I don't see Atlanta stopping to win anytime soon. FC Cincinnati, nothing. New England, 2 yesterday in Cincinnati. Another big defeat. But for New England, like Dwayne alluded to it earlier, they have been playing better under Bruce Arena. It took a while for Bruce Arena to actually start working and be there full-time and be able to help this team and change the mentality of this team. That's what we're seeing, and that mentality change in the dressing room, the accountability that Bruce Arena has brought to the players in that dressing room is really paying dividend for the New England Revolution. Orlando 0, New York Rebels 1, a big win on the road for the Red Bulls here that are continuing their climb of the standings just like their New York brethren. And we are seeing a rise of New York, which beginning of the season, both had terrible start of the season. And we're wondering if it's going to be the first time in a while where both New York teams might be out of the playoffs by the end of the season. But do not worry, it will not happen this year. And the weekend was capped off by another amazing great game in Seattle in front of 50,000 fans. The Cascadia Derby, the proper one. No offense to my Vancouver listeners. I do like Vancouver Whitecaps, but come on, it's a stretch. Seattle 1, Portland 2. Big win for Portland versus the Sounders on the road. A chippy affair with pushing, shoving, and almost fighting at the final whistle. It was fun to watch. Makes for great TV. Cascadia rivalry. 50,000 fans. Two teams going at each other. Tactically. Technically. And then going after each other physically. Makes for great TV. So, that is the weekend in Major League Soccer. Now, it's time to look at the standings before we say goodbye for today. The Union still first in the Eastern Conference with 39 points. Atlanta 36 in second. DC United third with 35 points. The Red Bulls are fourth now in the Eastern Conference with 34 points. It is really tight in the Eastern Conference. New York City FC just behind the Red Bulls, 2 points behind with 32 points. The Montreal Impact still in the conversation with 30 points at sixth position, but finding themselves in a very, very slippy situation. Another drop of points and they might fall off the ledge of the playoffs. The New England Revolution, seventh, the last spot, giving you a playoff game with 30 points, though. Equal with Montreal, but they have one more game remaining this season than the Montreal Impact. The Montreal Impact have already played 23 games, only have 11 games remaining in the 2019 season. Toronto FC, the first team outside the playoff bubble with 29 points in a position. Then Orlando surging recently with 26 points. Then 23 for Chicago, 21 Columbus in 11th, and Cincinnati with a lowly 17 points, with a 0.77 points per game average for the expansion team. Moving on to the Western Conference for today, LAFC still top of the West, still top of the league with 46 points. That is the Supporters Shield's leader right now, Major League Soccer. LAFC, coached by Bob Bradley. LA Galaxy, second with 37 points, 9 points back from their LA rival, but surging as well for the Galaxy. Seattle Sounders, third with 35 points. Minnesota United, fourth with 34 points. Then we have the Quakes, fifth with 34 points. That's a big performance for the Quakes this year. No one expected, we expected a certain amount of progression and growth, but not necessarily playoff contenders in year one under Matias Almeida without having seen the big influx of great players coming in to join Matias Almeida in his San Jose adventure. FC Dallas, number 6 with 32 points, and 7th in the Western Conference, Real Salt Lake with 30 points. Which brings us to the Houston Dynamo now, just outside the bubble, 8th with 30 points, equal on games played, equal on points per game average. So we'll see for Houston. Portland 9th. It was a difficult season for Portland. A lot of games on the road with the renovations at Providence Park. But hopefully things are back on track now. That big win last night versus Seattle might give you a little momentum boost. And if you can continue with that boost, you might find yourself in the better position. Disappointing Kansas City 10th, 25 points only. Yeah, that's bad. Why do I pick him every year? I don't know. You tell me. Colorado, 11th with 20 points. And the Whitecaps, last in the Western Conference with 20 points. After 23 games played, they're just like the Impact. Only 11 games left in 2019. And we do have the Whitecaps at a points per game average of 0.87. Which is not good enough. So we'll see if Mark Dos Santos and the front office of the Vancouver Whitecaps and their newly found scouting system and recruiting personnel, which should be dealt with soon, according to Dan Riccio, who was on the show Friday, we'll see if this brings any improvement and reinforcement for the Vancouver Whitecaps, which both are desperately needed. On that note, we'll say goodbye for today. You can follow us on Twitter at 24th Minute for Dwayne, at Kev Larame for myself, and on this show at Soccer Today SPN. We'll be back tomorrow with another edition of Soccer Today and also the Two Solitude Soccer Podcast. We've been trying to find time to record it since Thursday, but Thursday is now a more difficult time, and the weekend is as well. It's been more difficult for Dwayne and I to be able to sit down for 30 minutes and talk about our love of Canadian soccer. But Tuesdays might be the new day that we record the Two Solitude Soccer Podcast. Dwayne and I will sit down tonight and iron out the best way to be able to consistently bring you out the 2S podcast on the same day, which might be on Tuesdays, but more on that tomorrow. If you want to join the club of the Two Solitude Soccer Podcast, $2 a month will give you access to the Two Solitude Soccer Podcast. We're doing a night cover Canadian Premier League, where we talk about Canadian soccer, Canadian women's national team, Canadian men's national team, League One Ontario, Premier League, Checkouts, Quebec, whatever touches Canadian soccer and tickles our fancy, Dwayne and I will talk about it on the Two Solitude Soccer Podcast. You can get access to it at patreon.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. On that note, we'll be back tomorrow. And until then, as always, I'm Kevin Larame, and have a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.